This is the More Than Right podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Lopez. It was an odd U.S. Supreme Court decision. In a narrow 5-4 ruling, two conservative justices, Chief Justice John Roberts and Associate Justice Amy Coney Barrett, joined the High Court's liberal justices in declaring individual U.S. states cannot secure their borders against foreign invaders. They say that's the job of the U.S. government. There's just one glaring problem with this assessment. The federal government, under the direction of White House usurper Joe Biden, has opened the U.S. southern border to illegal migrants the world over. In fact, he promised to do so during the Democratic Party's 2020 presidential debates.
I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
In essence, the nation's high court ruled that the state of Texas, by placing razor wire along its border with Mexico to help fend off the millions of migrants flooding into their state illegally, acted, well, illegally. They ruled that a bipartisan Congress and the current administration, both of whom refuse to enforce existing federal immigration laws, are exclusively charged with, well, ignoring them. The U.S. Supreme Court's paradoxical ruling establishing the federal government's preeminence as the nation's sovereign lawbreaker sets in motion a constitutional crisis not seen since the Civil War. Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued a statement saying President Biden has, quote, instructed his agencies to ignore federal statutes that mandate the detention of illegal immigrants. The failure of the Biden administration to fulfill the duties imposed by Article 4, Section 4, has triggered Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which reserves to this state the right of self-defense. For these reasons, I have already declared an invasion under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, to invoke Texas's constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. That authority is the supreme law of the land and supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary. Unquote. And what does the Constitution's Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 say? That the federal government, not the states, deals exclusively with foreign policy and waging war. Quote, unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. Unquote. Germany began the Second World War by invading Poland with 1.2 million troops. At least 11 million illegal replacement voters have entered the United States since Joe Biden stole the presidential election of 2020. And threw America's border with Mexico wide open. Biden's own Department of Homeland Security admits 736 terrorist suspects were apprehended at the southern border, but they have no idea how many terrorists were among the 1.6 million illegals who evaded border authorities altogether, the so-called gotaways. Since Governor Abbott announced he would continue laying razor wire along the southern border, the Supreme Court ruling notwithstanding, 24 other state governors announced their support of his actions. A statement released by the Republican Governors Association reads in part, quote, the authors of the U.S. Constitution made clear that in times like this, states have the right of self-defense under Article 4, Section 4, and Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution. Because the Biden administration has abdicated its constitutional compact duties to the states, Texas has every legal justification to protect the sovereignty of our states and our nation, unquote. 25 U.S. states have, in essence, declared the U.S. Supreme Court's border ruling unconstitutional. The theory of Supreme Court nullification by the states has existed since the time of Thomas Jefferson. When Congress passed, and President John Adams signed into law, the Alien and Sedition Acts, Kentucky and Virginia passed resolutions asserting their Tenth Amendment right to overturn federal legislation restricting free speech and the right to criticize the national government. The Virginia Resolution of 1798 declares that when the federal government attempts to exceed the powers granted to it by the U.S. Constitution, quote, the states who are party thereto have the right and are in duty bound to interpose for arresting the progress of the evil and for maintaining within their respective limits the authorities' rights and liberties appertaining to them, unquote. Texas, with the support of 24 states of the American Union, believe they have constitutional authority over the national government that happens to owe its very existence to them. The same states and her citizens Washington now threatens deliberately by refusing to enforce its own immigration laws. This paints President Biden into something of a corner. It's been suggested he sign an executive order to nationalize the Texas National Guard, now attempting to stem the tide of illegal migrants pouring across the border and turn the troops against Texas. As of this recording, neither ABC, NBC, or CBS News have carried the Texas-Washington showdown story. Instead, they've concentrated on a congressional budget deal with the White House to boost funding for more border agents. But bipartisan Washington has not said it will begin enforcing existing immigration laws. Former President Donald J. Trump, whose major political issue is border security, urged House Republicans to reject a budget deal that does not secure the border. In a statement released through Truth Social, Trump told Republican lawmakers, quote, I do not think we should do a border deal unless we get everything needed to shut down the invasion of millions and millions of people, many from parts unknown, into our once great country, unquote. Clearly, Biden hoped the usual weak House Republicans would cave to media pressure and pass a meaningless immigration bill. This would provide the deeply unpopular Biden with some political cover heading into the 2024 presidential election. A Washington Post article attempted to cover for Biden, saying, quote, Biden signed more executive orders related to immigration than any other topic on his first day in office. He's taken more than 500 executive actions since then, already surpassing former President Donald Trump's four-year total, unquote. That begs the obvious question. If Biden's executive actions are so effective, why have 11 million migrants crossed illegally into the U.S. since he took office? But the Post sprinkles the article with a little honesty. Quote, the president's management at the southern border and immigration is his worst-rated issue in polls, and record numbers of illegal crossings have galvanized Republicans, undermined the president's push for Ukraine aid, and played to the perceived strengths of Trump, the GOP frontrunner, unquote. Democrat-run migrant-friendly sanctuary cities are overwhelmed with illegals they must feed and house, straining their ability to provide social services to suffering American citizens. Overdoses of Mexican-made fentanyl has killed more Americans than car accidents, gun violence, breast cancer, and suicide. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says Mexican cartels use illegals as mules to traffic drugs, making $10,000 to $12,000 per illegal smuggled into America. FBI Director Christopher Wray says the terror threat in America is, quote, on a whole other level, unquote. He did not, however, blame the Biden administration's border policies for the increased terror threat to the homeland. The last war between the states successfully expunged slavery from the U.S. Constitution, bringing the document into line with the principles of liberty and equality as expressed in the Declaration of Independence. Perhaps the next war, hot or cold, will force the government in Washington to abide by the very laws it has written and passed to secure what President Ronald Reagan described as the shining city on the hill, the United States of America. As Abraham Lincoln said, it is safe to assert that no government proper ever had a provision in its organic law for its own termination. During the New Hampshire Republican primary, a concerned news media conducted exit polls to gauge voter sentiment. One question of particular concern centered on whether voters believe Joe Biden stole the 2020 presidential election. According to CNN, quote, roughly 7 in 10 of New Hampshire voters backing Trump said they were registered as Republicans. About 8 in 10 of Trump voters denied the legitimacy of President Joe Biden's election win in 2020, highlighting the election denialism that remains widespread among his supporters, unquote. Among independent voters, around 33% agree with most Republicans. Overall, a Washington Post survey finds belief that Biden stole the White House rose by 20% in 2023. C. Douglas Golden observes in the Western Journal that the letter from former U.S. intelligence officials insisting the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation, coupled with social media censorship of the same, joined with Biden-friendly media coverage, may have added to suspicions of a coordinated cover-up of election tampering. According to Golden, quote, more Americans are realizing how much the powers of social media and the establishment media played a role in putting Biden in the White House, and how dishonest major players in these industries were with American voters, unquote. The recent mass layoffs at legacy media companies, the Los Angeles Times recently shed 20% of its newsroom personnel, shows the extent to which Americans have abandoned the self-described gatekeepers of truth. Soviet dissident Alexander Solzhenitsyn called superficiality the psychic disease expressed by the monolithic propaganda machine of state-run media. The two major newspapers in the old Soviet Union were Pravda, which means truth, and Izvestia, which means news. It inspired the Russian joke that there is no truth in the news. U.S. legacy media shouldn't be surprised that public confidence in their integrity has fallen alongside Biden's legitimacy as president. The two go hand in hand. That concludes this edition of the More Than Right podcast. If you feel so inclined, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, this is Steve Lopez.